You'll notice in your bulletin all these announcements as well. The ladies Bible study. Am I on? Can you hear me? Check. One, two, check. I think I'm on. Am I on? I don't know. I don't think I'm on.
Number eight, Jane.
Okay. Check.
Eight.
Everyone can hear me? All right. So ladies, there we go. Hello, nurse. All right. Ladies Bible study will meet Wednesday, October 12th from 7 to 8 p.m. And that's in the pastor's office. And so Wednesday from October 12th from 7 to 8 p.m. We also want to highlight Harvest Home Sunday. That's next Sunday, October 16th. We invite you to bring canned goods or non-perishables to the church before that date and to drop them off at the kitchen entrance before the steps. And donations will then be given to the Bethel Topahawken Food Pantry. And we thank you ahead of time for all of your donations. We also want to highlight the Golden Age Dinner. That's for those 60 years of age and over. And there's a noon meal that'll be served after they on the 30th. There we go. On the 30th is the Golden Age Dinner. There are sign-up sheets in the narthex. So we invite you, anyone over age 60 for the Golden Age Dinner to sign up. And there's a phenomenal entertainment provided during that time. And this coming Saturday, the men will be doing a winterization project. So we invite the men, if you haven't signed up yet, to sign up to help with that winterization project. And that starts at 8 a.m. And that's a part of the men's ministry. And then we just invite the community, your friends, your neighbors, yourselves, to come on out on Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. We're going to have a fall festival, and that'll be located down in the pavilion. And we'll have a hayride. There'll be hot dogs provided, lots of games for your friends to and for you guys to enjoy. And we just invite if anyone wants to donate hot dogs or buns or any type of baked goods or snacks, any time Saturday before the event starts, we would be greatly appreciative of any of those. And you'll continue to notice the Haiti Mission Board as you enter into the narthex. There's lots and lots of envelopes on there. So as you consider ways to reach out and to support missions, and we can greatly use some additional funds to be able to support our Haiti mission, and as well as welcoming this morning our moment in mission, which is the Hoover family, Jason and Nicole are with us, and they'll be sharing about their upcoming experience and the way God has called them to that mission. So again, welcome, and we invite you to rise and greet one another, and we'll have a word of prayer and begin our time of worship. Come before you, you know the week that we've had, you know the emotions that are coursing through our veins, and we just come before you, ask you to be our silence, to be our stillness, to be our peace in this moment, and we just praise you, Father, for who you are, what you mean to us, and the opportunity to gather to worship you, Father, as a church family, and we just thank you for each gifted member of this praise team. Use them in a powerful way today and allow your word to go forth through song, and we just pray for this congregation, Lord, that they would receive it, and they would know that you are indeed here in this place. Thank you for each one, and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. We thank you for the opportunity to greet one another and welcome one another to this fellowship. We know, Father, that you are moving in our midst. Your presence is found here in this place. And we just ask, Father, that we would quiet our hearts before you as we worship you this morning. And we agree with you that you are the one true God. And we turn to you and ask your favor to be on this place and your blessings to be poured out. And it's in Jesus' most precious, precious name that we pray. Amen.
We invite you to join us in singing Mighty to Save. The words are going to be up on the screen in a moment. Mighty to Save.
He is mighty to save.
Be seated. We invite you into a time of sharing joys or concerns. Our hearts are heavy as our community has suffered many tragedies, the loss of a young boy named William, and we pray for the Diefenbach family and for the school and for Mrs. Schwamm and for Sarah and Jason and their family as we mourn the loss of two people very near and dear to us, among many others that are amidst our mourning this morning.
My cousin Anthony is very sick, and we just hope that he feels better soon.
I have to preference my request by Amy is fine now. I would like you to remember her every day in your daily prayers because she has extreme allergies. It became so bad, it was, I think, about a week and a half ago, I only found out on Monday. She was taken by ambulance to the hospital from her apartment in Japan. So keep her in your prayers. She's aware of her allergies, but something entered the apartment, and they're not sure what. So keep her in your daily prayers, because each exposure makes it that much worse, much more extreme, but this one was the worst. And even people worry about the EpiPen. Even if she would have had the EpiPen, she would have had to be transported to the hospital. She has expired EpiPens, but not a current one. Keep her in your daily prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
if you can keep a word for the Martin Moyer farm, Martin Moyer family. They lost the dairy barn this week. Fortunately, no one was hurt, and just pray for there in the recovery.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Well, amidst all this sadness, I have some joy to lift up. My coworker Cassandra Haddad and her husband Jason welcomed two bouncing little tiny baby boy and a girl last Monday. Lincoln William at 34 weeks was 15 pounds, 13 ounces, and his little tiny sister, Frances Grace, better known as Frankie, was 5 pounds, 4 ounces, and they're doing well. Frankie is still on a CPAP machine to help her breathe, but just very, very thankful that they're doing so well.
Amen.
I had asked for prayers a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it actually got to the church service, but I'll just lift it up again. My roommate, her grandfather fell and broke his back, so I'd like prayers for Mr. Gamachi and the Matucci family. Yes, they're Italian. he did go into surgery. He was paralyzed from the chest down. After surgery, he had partial movement of one leg. But at 92 years old, there's not much they're going to be able to do for him. So just keep the family in your prayers. It's a real struggle for them.
I want to say thanks to everybody for their prayers, their visits, and cards. And this church definitely has a way of praying that can not be spoken maybe by everybody, but I can honestly say this church has given everybody the power to believe in and to go forward, because my operation definitely was needed a lot of prayers, and you people have definitely put that up, and I want to say thank you. Continue the good work.
Thank you. Good to see you, John. We have many birthdays that are being celebrated among us, but some birthdays are a little higher in years than others, so we just want to sing happy birthday to Hershey this morning, who's going to be celebrating, I want to say, 94 years. Is that right? 93. All right, I was close. 93 years this week. So if we could join in singing happy birthday to Hershey this morning, that would be great. Amen. It's always a joy to celebrate new life and celebrate life that continues.
My mother
turned
50 on Friday.
Yes, amen. Round of applause. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your patience with us as we endure life's losses. We know many grieving students and many grieving families here in this community. And we're praying, Father, that your love would go forth, that your power of your special touch would go forth, knowing the comfort that comes from that. And we thank you, Father, for being near to us when we do struggle, when we face death day in and day out. And we just pray, Father, that you would just give us renewal, that you would give us a newfound hope, realizing that this life is not the end, but we have eternity waiting for us as we believe upon your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice this morning with those that have been recovering from surgeries, and we just praise you, God, for John's testimony this morning and how you're working in his life and our prayers are being heard. We think of Amy in Japan this morning, and you know, Father, the allergies that she struggles with greatly. But Father, we do recognize you as the master physician, and we pray, Father, that you would just touch Amy and allow those allergies to cease in Jesus' name. You know, Father, those among us going through very difficult situations. You know the stress and the anxiety that we face. You know the loneliness that we deal with. But Father, we know through it all that you are a present God. Though at times we feel alone, you never abandon us. So Father, we just thank you that you are here in our presence and with us as we go forth in this life. And we think of our prayer concerns this morning. We lift up Catherine Wenger and Grace Miller and Denise Kristen, Diane Feathers and Bonnie Zimmerman and Eugene Whitman and Vicki Smith and Ruth and John Hoover and Carl and Faye Ballesball and Carol and Pete Sanchez. We lift up Bruce Moore and Dorothy Murky and Mia Hussman and Vera Gross and Anthony, who's dealing with an illness, and we just pray your special touch upon that young person and allow him to have healing, Father. But we'll rejoice and we'll praise you, whatever your will for our lives will be. But Father, as we do face those situations, may we be ever mindful of what your word tells us, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And we just rejoice in that knowledge this morning. We thank you for new life. We think of those that have been dealt a health situation that was unforeseen, but Father, we pray you would go alongside them and just help them in recovery and to deal with life as it's been presented. And we know, Father, you're calling on each of our lives to serve. And we just thank you for Jason and Nicole being here with us this morning. And we just welcome them here to Little Swatara and thank you for the mission that they've been set forth to do in the Dominican Republic. We think of the devastation from Hurricane Matthew and just pray for those areas affected and impacted and the rebuilding and the restoration of lives that need to take place. And we just ask, Lord, if it would be us, that you would use us to go into those places and to rebuild. But Father, let the church rise. Let us rise and answer your call to make your name known. And we just pray now during these next few moments of silent prayer, the sins that have crept into our life, Lord, we pray for your forgiveness. And we ask for prayers for those things on our heart as well. Hear our prayers. Father, we confess that we need you every moment of every day. Father, we confess that there's times we try to do this life on our own. Forgive us, Father. Help us to heed to your Holy Spirit, to go in the direction that you're calling us, to follow your will for our lives. And we just praise you this morning, knowing that you have provided forgiveness through the cross, and that death has no victory, the tomb is empty, and that we can live this life knowing that this isn't it. This is only an end to an earthly life, and it's the beginning to a life after. And we thank you, God, for that knowledge. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your word in Malachi 3:10 that says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the ability to test you in our faithfulness with giving. And when we test you, Father, you say you'll be faithful in providing abundantly. So, Father, we come forth with our offering, with our tithes, and present them to you, knowing that you will use them to further your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for each giver. We thank you for the blessings that you bestow in our lives. And we turn to you and recognize that we need you. And we cheerfully give this morning. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Brings me great joy this morning to be able to welcome Jason and Nicole Hoover. Jason and Nicole were part of the congregation I served as youth and young adult pastor at Buffalo Valley, and he has placed a tremendous call upon their lives to serve in the Dominican Republic, and we look forward to hearing how God brought that all to pass.
Good morning. Yes, my name is Jason. This is my wife, Nicole. And we have two children, Ethan, age 7, and Miriam, age 4, who are not here with us today. They spent the weekend and the next couple days with their grandparents.
So Jason's battling a cold, so bear with him. He's not feeling the best this morning. But Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. And as we tell you about our journey today, I'd like you to just understand what that verse has meant to us. Going through this process, we have really just tried to watch the light right in front of us, the lamp revealed at our feet. and not focus so much on the long-term path. People will ask us, how long are you going to the Dominican Republic? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know what God has planned for us. We really have been trying so hard just to let him light our path as we go. So what are we going to be doing in the Dominican Republic? We are going down under the umbrella of Global Mission and Service through our denomination, Church of the Brethren, which is based out of Elgin, Illinois, our denomination head. And in the Dominican Republic, we have about 25 to 30 Church of the Brethren there already established and operating. And we will be taking our daily task from their church board, the Junta, it is called. So we will really be receiving our direction from them. And they have some visions for their ministry for us. And they, one thing that is really big for them that they have planned is a central ministry camp. Similar to what we would have like Little Swatara or Camp Ader, but different as well. This place would serve as a place for them to meet, have general assembly, have theological training. Right now, they do not have any place that is sort of their central office space. So they're looking to buy a ground and build a camp from the ground up. This would also serve as a place for youth retreats, for Bible studies, for things like that. Other parts of our ministry will be evangelism, just getting out there and spreading the word of God. We're also going to be working with education, theological education as well, and then just economic development and increasing the voice of peace, which is very important to the brethren.
For those of you not aware, the Dominican Republic is located on the island of Hispaniola, and it shares this island with Haiti.
Most of our churches, if you could go on to the next slide, most of our churches of the Brethren are located on the southern part of the island. The touristy part of the island, which sometimes you see pictures of, is the north and east side. The churches of the Brethren are located within Santo Domingo, which is the big city there, the big red dot, the capital. We have some in there. And then all along the bottom half of the island, along the southern part, all the way out to the Haitian border, which is where the gray area there is the Haitian border. And then down in the south, the orange-green color there's also some churches down along that southern coast of the island.
The Church of the Brethren started following Hurricane David in 1979. After Hurricane David was a hurricane that came through and was expected not to hit the island. About 5 hours before, it changed course. And back in 1979, there wasn't many forms of awareness. Most people didn't have radios. There was no air raid sirens, no nothing. So the island was not prepared for it. About 80% of the population was left homeless after the hurricane. So the Church of the Brethren started there actually by the Puerto Rican Church of the Brethren. They arrived first on the island for humanitarian efforts. Then the American Church followed, and then after the cleanup and humanitarian efforts is when the Church of the Brethren started there, and we started planting churches and building churches in the 90s and 2000s, early 2000.
So the next couple of slides will give you just a kind of view of what does it look like there, and what do our churches look like there. And this picture here that's up is a, if you could go back one, we are digging a foundation there, and that is, yep, thank you, forward one. That in Buffalo Valley went down this past February, and that's our team digging a foundation, and everything there is done by hand. They don't have a lot of equipment, they don't bring tractors in, they don't bring machinery in, so everything's done by picks, axes, shovels, and wheelbarrows. So here we're digging a foundation for an addition onto the church. And then in the next picture, you can see a finished church in Oswa. We repainted this church when we were down. But this is very typical Church of the Brethren building in the Dominican Republic. They're made of bricks, cement blocks. And that construction stands up more to the hurricanes. And as long as they have money, people have money to build, this is the type of construction that is good for that area because of the hurricanes. And the next slide, if you could advance, I don't think is working. Is that correct? It was a video that gave you a little bit more of the picture. But in the video itself, you can see just the contrast. We do have the cement block buildings, but also a lot of people just have, you know, wood type construction with tin roofs, or basically whatever they can find to kind of assemble a square with a tin roof is what they will use for shelter if they cannot afford the block construction.
So one thing we came to talk about was our call on how we were called to the Dominican Republic and challenging you, and say, are you willing to change directions if the Lord is calling you? And in our walk with the Lord, His voice isn't always audible. However, on our trip to Elgin, Illinois, my wife's voice was audible, and I'll tell you the story. We went out about a month and a half ago to Elgin for some meetings at the central offices, and on the way out, on the turnpike in Ohio, we were traveling west, and I happened to look over, and in the next picture, you can faintly see a light dot in the middle of a field. And that really light dot there, it's kind of hard for most of you probably to see it. That's actually a horse. And I was driving, and I happened to look over, and I saw this horse laying there. And I said to my wife, I'm pretty sure that horse is in trouble. And as we kept driving, my wife said to me, she goes, if you don't turn around, you know we're going to be laying awake tonight. You're going to be laying awake tonight in the hotel room. You're not going to live with yourself. You're going to be worried about it the next morning and wondering, you know, how that horse made out. So, of course, on the turnpike, you can't just turn around. So we had to drive to the next exit, which was about 5 miles away. We got off the westbound, got back on the eastbound, and drove back to where this farm was. And we got back there, and yes, the horse was laying there. And so I proceeded to jump fences and run up to the home and tell the landowners, who were Amish, that their horse was definitely stuck in a fence. And I told the father to get a pair of wire cutters. We got back to the horse, and I held onto the horse, and the father proceeded to cut a wire that was wrapped around the horse's neck, his leg, and his abdomen. You could tell he was definitely been there for a while, and he was struggling. However, he did get up and walk away, and the owner did think he was going to make a full recovery. The owner was stated many times that he did not understand how we turned around on a turnpike, or why we turned around to save something we weren't sure of, you know, whether it was struggling or not. But he was so blessed and so honored that we did that because this was their main driving horse. This was the horse that they went to church with. This was the horse that they went to school, to the grocery store, to all those things. And if we would have not turned around, if I would have not listened to my wife's audible voice in this scenario, this family would have lost their major mode of transportation. However, in our walk with the Lord, His voice isn't always audible. But I'll tell you the case of how He called us to go to the Dominican Republic in my case. We went down in 2015, or when I say we, Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, I went down, my wife was unable to go that year. And as we were there, I began to ask a lot of questions of Jeff Beauchart, who is Global Food Initiative for the Church of the Brethren. He was there, and some other members. I began to ask a lot of questions on why there was no missionaries in the Dominican anymore, why the theological trainings for the pastors stopped, why a lot of the programs that were going on to build up the church there were no longer active. And the week went on, we were built the church that we were there to help build, and the people were always on my mind. And we came home, and I began work on the farm again, and the people just never left my mind. And one day, about 2 weeks after we came home, I was working in the shop, working on the grain drill, and I was removing the disc. So I had to turn a wrench to remove a nut. And the people were that much on my mind at one point that I couldn't remember how to turn a wrench. I've turned a wrench for the past 20-some years of my life. I couldn't remember how to turn a wrench. I couldn't remember righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. Could not remember how to do it. Until I finally prayed to the Lord that I was willing to do whatever He was asking me to, whether that was go to the Dominican Republic for full time or whatever. But I prayed to Him that He needed to, that I was willing to do what He was asking me so I could get back to do my job that He's calling me to do right now. So that's how the Lord called me to the Dominican Republic. And I'll let my wife talk on her story, because at that point in time, she was never on a mission trip. She was never to the Dominican Republic. She was never even on a short-term mission here in the States. So to tell my wife this, it took me about another 3 weeks to get up enough courage to tell her.
Yeah. So Jason sat me down one day, and he's like, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, okay. So he told me that he felt like we were called to the Dominican Republic. And of course, I was shocked and, you know, like, well, okay. Some people who know me fairly well know that I kind of have the middle-of-the-line personality. So I was like, okay, well, I guess we'll see how this goes. So I really was just really submissive to Jason's call at that point. I told him we would explore it, kind of pray about it, discern, see what's going to happen. So we did do that process. We started exploring. We started talking to different people. We prayed about it. And we had some conversations with our denomination, and we decided then to plan for both of us to go to the February 2016, this past February, mission trip, so we both could really explore what it was like there, and you know, I could also experience what it was like to live in the Dominican Republic, or at least be there for 10 days so I could get a sense of the culture. So we did that, and shortly after that trip, we came home, and in March, we were interviewing with a group called Solid Rock International, who has a great, great mission in the Dominican Republic. And one night after a video chat interview, I went to bed, and you know, middle of the night, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, I'm not sure exactly the time, but the Spirit of God, an angel, whatever it was, the presence of the Lord came in and grabbed my heart. I mean, physically, I could almost feel the Spirit come in and squeeze my heart and whisper in my ear and tell me to get my family ready to move. And I sat straight up in bed because the moment was so real. I was like hyperventilating, kind of sweaty. And I didn't mention this in the first service, but Jason, while I'm experiencing this, he says cuatro, which is 4 in Spanish. And I still to this day don't know what that means for us, why that was significant. But I do know I came out of that night knowing that we were supposed to go to the Dominican Republic. And it's not just his call, it's my call, and it's our call for our family. So we have support information up on the screen for you guys. How can you support us? Well, we really, really need prayer. We are entering a culture where we're going to be learning Spanish. Our children will be learning a new language and a new culture as well. So it's not just us learning everything new, it's them as well. We are homeschooling, and they will continue to homeschool there. And we could use encouragement from you. If you want to sign up for our email list, we have a list out there that you can put your name on, and we can email you. We have prayer magnets available. We encourage you to take one. We have plenty. Take one. Hang it up on your refrigerator. So you remember to pray for us, and we would be so appreciative of that. There are 2 ways that you can financially support us. We are raising support right now for an in-country vehicle. It'll be the Dominican Mission vehicle. And then there's also our family, specific family need support for our housing and just daily living costs. So two ways that you can support us, and all that money goes out to Elgin, Illinois. If anybody wants to give a check to us, we can take it and get it to Elgin for you, or I'm sure if you put it in your offering plate, the people that are in charge of money here will get that to where it needs to be for you. We really thank you. We appreciate being here today. It's been great to catch up with Matt and Denise, the family, again, and seeing them. So thank you. Thanks for hearing us share.
And if there's any deacons here this morning, we're just going to have a word of prayer over Jason and Nicole. So any deacons that are available, just come forward and lay your hands upon them as we send them off to the Dominican Republic. What's the date you'll be going again?
November 17th.
November 17th. That'll be here before we know it. Father, we just want to thank you for Jason and Nicole, for Miriam and Ethan. And we know, Father, that you have placed this call upon their lives. And we know, Father, that you are their provision. We know every need that they have will be met because we trust and we believe that you are the sovereign Lord. And we just pray, God, you would go ahead of them. You would prepare the place for them where they'll be staying, the mission work that they'll be doing. And you know the vehicle that they need, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name that vehicle would already be available and ready for purchase as that time nears. And we just thank you for their hearts. We thank you for their willingness to answer the call. And we know that call is upon each of our lives. And we pray we would surrender and submit as well. But Father, please, in Jesus' name, be with the Hoovers and bless them and allow this mission to go smoothly and according to your plans. And help that language barrier to be broken quickly, that they would be able to learn the language in the Dominican Republic and be able to speak fluently and know their culture. And we just thank you again for their service and their submission to your plan. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children, come join me up front. Here comes one more. Did you know that March is the windiest month of the year? Did you guys know that? Yeah. What is one activity that you guys like to do in March? What do you like to do? Jump in the leaves. That's in fall. We're talking about springtime. What do you like to do in the springtime? You like to run?
Swim.
What do you like to do, Maddie?
I like to jump in the wind.
How about flying a kite? Do any of you like to fly a kite in the wind? You guys like flying kites? Isn't it so much fun to just see that kite flying up there in the air and just letting it fly? How the heck does that kite stay up in the air? How does it stay up there?
The wind,
that's right. Can anyone see the wind? Can you see the wind? You can see it when it's blowing something. So if I take this tissue and I blow it, do you think we'll see the wind?
Yeah, no?
No?
Yeah?
Yeah? Did you see the wind?
No.
No?
Yeah.
You did? Then you must have really good strength, because I can't see that wind. Now, how about, do you see the leaves blowing?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, so how about God? He's invisible, but can you see him? No? You can't see him, but you can feel him. Blow in the back of your hand. Can you feel the wind? So we don't know, we can't see it, but we can feel it. Just like how God, we can't see him, but we sure can feel him. In the Bible it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Bible, so God's with me, and even though we can't see him, we know he's there because we can feel him. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So the Bible also says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So we can't see God, but we know he's here and he speaks to our hearts. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we can't see you, but we know you're there because we can feel you moving, and we can feel you in our presence, and we hear you speak to our hearts. Thank you for being there. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
Please join us in singing In Christ Alone. We're going to just do verse 1 and verse 2. In Christ Alone, the words will be up.
Please rise to join us.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my soul. This cornerstone, this solid ground. Come through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving.
You may be seated. This morning, I'd like us to think about the hummingbird and the vulture. Both fly overhead, seeking their next meal. But as the vulture circles the land, it's looking for one thing and one thing only: decaying meat, often found hid alongside the road. And did you ever notice when you drive upon that vulture, they hang around until the last possible second, and then they fly off just as we brake our vehicles? You see, that vulture is clinging on for dear life to that flesh. It's what they thrive on. It's what gets them through another day. But then there's the hummingbird. Forget the smelly, rotting flesh. They have no interest. Instead, they're looking for that colorful blossom. Daylilies, petunias, or foxgloves. Many of us will place a feeder filled with that sweet, sugary water to attract the elusive hummer. But they're like a mini flycatcher. The sugar is what fuels their pursuit as a bug-eating machine. Their wings beating up to 70 times per second, diving at a rate of 60 miles per hour. The vulture, the hummingbird, can teach us a few things about life. You see, the vulture lives on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what's been and what's now gone. But hummingbirds, they live on what is. They seek new life to fill themselves with freshness. Yet each bird finds exactly what they're looking for. And friends, this can often be how we react to the world around us. And we too will find what we're looking for. But no matter where we go, God goes with us. In the desperation and the exaltation of life, in the valley and on the mountaintop, when the day is going oh so well and when the day is the most difficult to deal with, God goes with us. He longs to meet with us daily, to show us the way, to pave the path, to make known his will for our lives. But have you ever wondered how two people can live in the same community, experience similar problems, and yet one finds contentment and the other finds nothing but heartache? What difference exists between those two? They're both struggling, both facing adversity, but their focuses are different. When life is pressing in all around us, when things don't make any sense, it's entirely too easy to be consumed with the circumstance in front of us and forget that God may be up to something. Statistics tell us 1 in 10 Americans deal with some form of depression. But friends, take heart that wherever we go, God goes with us. Lately, there seems to be tragedy upon tragedy in our own backyards, not to mention the tragedies around the world. Young lives, much too young, passing on to eternal life. People who were getting better suddenly making a turn for the worse on that same journey to heaven. Sickness, illness falling upon one person after another. Life taking us in directions we weren't quite prepared for. More and more as the days go by, we begin questioning God's existence. Where has he been? Why does it feel as though he's abandoned us? The focus of the vulture becomes all too familiar. But friends, the good news is this. The Bible has a greater, more meaningful way to approach life. It shows us a completely different focus. In Psalm 27, 11, King David requests of God to teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. You see, David was asking God to show him something more, something beautiful, like the hummingbird searching for vibrant flowers, the sweetness of life. And as we study God's word, day in and day out, we learn of his goodness, his faithfulness, of his nurture in our lives. The moment that we're in is fleeting, but the promise of new life is at hand. Our faith is what carries us through these trenches. It's our hope of eternal life that is our comfort. We trust in God's provision, and though he may seem silent, he's still at work. He's still on the move. He still goes with us. It's often very tempting to dwell on the past and live in the days gone by. Consider the Jews. For the longest time, they thought of the Gentiles as profane. But friends, as we've traveled through the book of Acts, we learn that God is doing something new. Amidst the calamity, the frustration, the unending questions on our mind, God is up to something, not only in our individual lives, but up to something in the life of the church. The difference is whether we choose this day or the days gone by. Will we trust that he goes with us? Will we trust that he works all things for good? And as we've heard from our friends Jason and Nicole, God has a perfect plan for our lives. As difficult as it is for them to leave home, they've come to know, they've chosen to surrender to him. Selling possessions, giving of themselves, and flying literally to a fresh calling in the Dominican Republic. Like many of us, we'll confess change doesn't make our top 10 list. It's not our go-to. It doesn't make our heart skip a beat. It's not what we look forward to. In many ways, we avoid it at all costs. We delay the inevitable. We hold on to the past because we know things will never be the same. In all honesty, we like the known. We like what's been. And it's not all that bad. Those memories carry us through in ways of simply forgetting never will. But today, and every single day of our lives, we're thankful that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, never changes, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in our scripture this morning, we'll see that God indeed is on the move. We remember 2 weeks ago now, the Spirit had fallen on the Gentiles. For the first time in history, salvation is available to all. And from this moment on, the message of Christ is going from place to place. And time again, a great number of people believe and turn to the Lord. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 11, verses 15 through 30. Again, Acts chapter 11, verses 15 to 30. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as He had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Remember, it's this baptism in the Spirit that joins us to the body of Christ. We are risen with Him to newness of life. As the church, then, we use our spiritual gifts to keep the body functioning. When we face struggles, it's the same Spirit that leads us beside still waters. It's the same Spirit that speaks peace over our lives and brings comfort like no other. But how often do we stand in God's way and prevent the healing in our own lives, attempting to soothe the pain of loss in any number of countless ways? I believe God is saying to us this morning, whatever you're going through, I, the Lord, go through it with you. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. And though the pain is very real, I'm leading you to new life. Never forget, never forsake the legacy of the past. It must live on. Continuing in verse 18, when they heard this, they had no further objections. And they praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Friends, repentance isn't the same as confession. It takes responsibility for our sins and agreeing we were wrong. Some misunderstand what repent means. It's not stopping or turning away from our sin. Repentance is actually a change of mind and heart. The old has gone, the new has come. Everyone needs repentance in regards to salvation. It goes hand in hand. Whether knowingly or not knowing, we have each rejected Christ at some point in our lives. But friends, as we truly believe in our hearts, we begin to repent. Our minds begin to change from rejection to recognition of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our hearts begin to beat like that of God, taking every step in the direction He calls. No hesitancy, no second thoughts, no what ifs. What we're seeing in our passage is that Peter is all in, and then he explains his actions. One of the most shocking admissions in Jewish history, but an event that the Old Testament prophesied. Jews and Gentiles alike welcome into the kingdom of God. And here's where it doesn't get any more obvious that God goes with us wherever we go. Verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And then this happens in verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Friend, whatever you go through, God goes with you. It means His power in blessing is upon you. His love, His comfort, His compassion, His mercy are always at hand. We have reason to tell of God's goodness. Continuing in verse 22, News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea, as they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Friends, we are part of the fellowship of the unashamed. We have Holy Spirit power. We leaped over the line of no return. We're a disciple of the one true King. We've made a decision. We don't look back. We don't let up. We don't even slow down. Our past is redeemed. Our present makes sense, and our future is secure. We live by faith, trust His presence, and walk in patience. We labor by love and power and are lifted in prayer. Our pace is set, our way is fast, and our goal is heaven. Though our road is narrow, our way is rough, the mission is clear. Our God is reliable. Friends, we won't back down in sacrifice, hesitate from our adversaries, negotiate with our enemies, or work for popularity. We won't give up, we won't let up until we've stayed up, prayed up, and preached up the cause of Christ. We've been bought with a price and made new through the blood and given great purpose. We are called the chosen, the few, the kings and priests among men, set apart in but not of this world, a light in the darkness, a voice calling out the remnant. We are the church. No longer shall we have a vulture vision focusing on the past, but a vision like that of a hummingbird living in the new, the fresh, the way of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we cry out to you, seeking to remain true to you with all of our hearts. We confess, Father, that life brings us pain. But Father, we trust you through it all. We know that your plans are at hand. And though we don't always understand, we lean on your knowledge that surpasses all understanding. Help us, Father, to follow your call that has been placed on our lives, to live surrendered, to live in complete obedience. May we not only call you Savior, but may we call you Lord, knowing that you indeed guide our paths. We give you unending thanks for who you are and what you mean to us in this hour. Be glorified in our midst. May we share in one another's grief and expand the kingdom by our witness. May peace prevail, and most of all, may thy will be done. Amen and amen.
Please rise and join us as we close in worship, praising.
Accepted, you let me down.
As Paul wrote in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Maybe look for and find beauty in the new life Christ offers and his amazing love. Amen.